Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us this week on Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the London United Reformed Church. We are excited to bring to you another week of looking into the Scriptures and looking at this wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to look at John chapter 8, verses 21 through 28. And I want to read that for you. Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come?'" And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." And he spoke these words, many believed in him. Well, as we open up this passage this week, this really exciting and deep, profound section of Scripture where Jesus is dialoguing about the kingdom of God and about what it means to believe and rest in him alone, I want to start by with this today, that Jesus once told a parable about the wicked vine dressers. And we're going to put this in connection with what we just read. But he told this parable once about the wicked vine dressers. And in the parable, he was exposing the consequences of rejecting him. Well, at the end of the parable, he said something probably that is one of the most profound, heart-searching statements that you could ever find in the Bible. He said this, "Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." That single statement summarizes everything about the gospel, about the judgment to come, and the only way of escape. Jesus had just looked over his own covenant people who had rejected him, the Jews, and he had said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And so what Jesus was saying is that to reject the chief stone is a sure guarantee of eternal condemnation. And so the gospel call became whoever falls on this stone will be broken. He will have his life exposed. He will bow the knee to Jesus in the day when he may be found, and he will be shattered. His pride will be dismantled. He will turn away from his sin, his pursuance of a godless life at enmity with God, and that old man will be broken. And as he falls upon this Christ, through the breaking process, he will receive eternal life. But on the same token, says Jesus, whomever this stone falls upon, he will grind them to powder. That one will be pulverized. If one refuses to accept the claims of Jesus, believe him for who he is, the one sent by the Father, this very stone will crush that unbeliever in eternal judgment forever. That's why I plead with you, if you are listening today and do not believe in Jesus, Jesus' claims are strong, and he is saying if you refuse to believe in him, you will face his crushing condemnation forever. Those are his words. And so as we come to this text this morning, we probably come to one of the most heart-searching passages that outlines for us exactly what it means to fall upon this stone in salvation. exactly what it means that when this stone falls upon unbelievers, however, eternal condemnation is imminent and it is forever. So it's a very sobering passage this week, but one that is so beautiful when we understand really what he's saying. The meaning of the passage this morning really is quite simple. I'm not really standing up today, and I'm not really giving you anything over the airways that is anything new, anything that the Christian has not heard before. And it's often the very profundity of the scriptures in just how simple the gospel message is, saying to us the same thing over and over in different ways. The only way to escape the condemnation to come because of sin is to believe in Jesus Christ and know him through what the cross reveals about him. That is exactly what this passage presents to us. But what is so amazing to me is that again and again, while this message is straightforward and simple, saying to sinners, you must repent and believe in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the amazing reality is people do not take the claims of Jesus seriously. They hear him. Yes, they hear these calls week after week sometimes. They hear these people in the text heard him time and time again. But in all of their hearing, they would not come to him that they might have life. They refused to hear and believe the things that he said, and his judgments were aimed right at them. And as pride filled their hearts, there was no brokenness, there was no lament over their lost state as sinners. And so today, the Word of God, if you're listening today, is pressing us as the hearer, saying, if you have fallen on this stone and you've believed in this Jesus, see him being lifted up, then know this. He's opened the kingdom of God to you. He has bridged a great gulf from his Father for you, to you. But if this stone is falling on you for unbelief, as you refuse to repent of your evil ways and believe in him, the kingdom is being closed to you, as the message is, he will grind those unbelievers to dust. Let's look at the text and see what we find today. In verse 21, we have Jesus referring to the closing of his kingdom to unbelievers through his own death. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. The first thing Jesus says here is that he's going away. He had said this before, and here he is speaking of going away to his Father. But the way to go there would first be the way of the cross. He would be first lifted up on the tree and die. But at this point, after this announcement, Jesus speaks of the horrid reality that will follow his departure. And imagine this, my friends. He's standing there in front of all the multitudes, and he says, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, Jesus would say something similar to his own people, his own disciples, but with a huge nuance, a huge difference. John 13, verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot now follow me, but you shall follow me afterward. Here we have something far different. And so we need to understand the seriousness of the depth of what Jesus was saying. The disciples would follow. Those who believe will follow, though not now. But there are those who cannot follow. Why? Well, essentially, when we look at what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 8, this was a judgment pronouncement. I mean, notice what he says. I'm going away, but you will look for me. Where I'm going, you cannot come. What is he saying? They, the people of his day, will continue to go on looking for their Messiah, but they will not find him. They will continue to look and to look, as even the Jews do to this day. They're waiting for their Messiah. But the terrible reality is the scene is that the one heralded from Genesis 3, 15 and 16 forward was standing right in front of them. The one whom all the law and the prophets had looked for, he had come. The elect one who in whom, Isaiah 42, is all my delight, said the Father. The one from everlasting unto everlasting, the one whose goings forth are from old. And here he was the one come on the mission given to him by his Father to lay down his life. And soon that death would satisfy the wrath of God for sinners. And he would go back and take up his throne in heaven. And just the sobering reality here is that his own people would continue to look and to look for their Messiah, but they would not find him. It would be a continual searching for the wind. And he says, point blank, you will die in your sins. Can you imagine hearing that, my friends? The words were horrid. They were the most sobering and soul-terrifying words that Jesus could have ever spoken, that a people continuing to search for their Messiah, their deliverer, had rejected the one true Messiah's appearing, and they would die in their sins. We so easily pass by a statement like that, don't we? We so easily run right over and don't consider carefully the words of our Lord. They are sobering. What he was saying was something like this: your whole lives you have rejected me. You've not come to this stone and fallen upon him. Instead, because of your unbelief, I will crush you. You will die in your sins. And so the message then today is, turn, believe in Jesus, and he will receive you, and you will go to where he is going. That's the promise of the gospel. That is what Jesus says to all of those who come to him in true faith. Turn to him today and find life. God pleaded with his people of old, turn, turn from your wicked ways, for why should you die in your iniquity? The Lord has given the wonderful call, flee from the wrath to come, and here is the way of escape. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the one sent by the Father, is the only way, truth, and life. And Jesus clearly says to you today, all who come to me, I will by no means cast out. If you come to him as a broken sinner, repenting and looking to him for life, he will receive you and restore you to righteousness and life. One of the things we have to remember is that the church is a place for sinners. Often I'll hear people say, well, I don't attend church because there's so many hypocrites there. Well, it's full of sinners. The church is a place for hypocrites. The Lord calls us to come and to be nourished upon the bread of life. And so we give you a sincere invite to join us this Sunday for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. But you can also access us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Phone number is 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until another edition of Abounding Grace, have a wonderful day, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.